Let's turn our Bibles this evening to Proverbs 4, Proverbs chapter number 4. We'll get to that passage in just a little bit. Back into our study of God's will. Again, this goes right along with our theme for this year, stepping out. We learned at the beginning of the year that sometimes stepping out means stepping out in obedience to God's specific leading in our lives. And so how are we going to understand God's specific leading in our lives? And the way we're going to do that is by applying the principles that we're learning in this series, a series from the book of Proverbs, about the path of God's will. So here's our outline for the series. We've been working our way through this. If you want to do the will of God, first of all, you're going to have to walk away from some things. You're going to have to turn away from sin and sinners, error, ignorance, and foolish thinking. Those are things that are going to lead you into the darkness, not in the light of the path of God. Okay, our theme verse for this series is Proverbs chapter 4. It says, "The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." That's the path we want to walk on. It's a path that is illuminated by light from God Himself. And that illumination comes from five different sources. And these are the sources of light on the path that God lays out for His people. First of all, there is the illumination that comes from parental instruction, then God's Word, God's personal presence, personal integrity, and godly counsel. Tonight, we're talking about personal integrity, how to walk in the path of God's will. If you want to walk in God's will, then walk in the light of personal integrity. Here's our key verse. It's Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 3. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." All right, so that's a pretty important verse, a pretty important statement there about being guided along the right path into God's will. The key word in that statement is the word integrity. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. So tonight we want to talk about integrity. What is integrity? How can we have integrity? So we can understand how to benefit from the guidance that is described in this verse. So here's our outline for this discussion of the path of personal integrity. First of all, we'll discuss the meaning of integrity, then the method of integrity, then a man of integrity, then the ministry of integrity, and finally, the missing of integrity. And it's going to take me two messages to work through that outline. Tonight, we're just going to cover the first two points. All right, so let's talk about the meaning of integrity. The word that is translated integrity in our key verse, Proverbs 11, verse 3, the root meaning of that Hebrew word is to complete, finish, or perfect. So the idea of integrity is completeness, it is uprightness, innocence, or sincerity. We talk about integrity. We're not talking about sinless perfection. We're not talking about somebody who never sins. We understand that we're all going to sin from time to time until we get to heaven as believers, until we lose that sinful flesh. It's not talking about sinless perfection, but it describes a spiritually and morally mature person whose heart, character, actions have all been beautifully and fully fashioned in the mold of righteousness. So the New Testament word for perfect has a very similar meaning. So you talk about when you read the word perfect in the New Testament, many times that word as well means to make somebody complete, to bring somebody to the point of maturity in a process of spiritual growth over time. That's the same basic idea of this Hebrew word as well. So this does not describe an immature person with glaring gaps in his or her character or conduct. It describes somebody with a pure heart, sincere motives, wise judgment, a tender conscience, strong character, and upright actions. And this internal integrity will tell a person that there are things that he must do and that there are things he must not do to remain in the will of God. So I want you to notice, back to our verse here, notice what it says, that this Notice in our key verse here, that the verse says that integrity is possessed by an upright person, a certain kind of person, an upright person. So upright people have integrity. But on the reverse side of that, perverse, froward people do not have integrity. Perverse, froward means bent on sinning, okay? Crooked, going out of the way of righteousness. So those people, perverse people, transgressors, sinners, they do not have integrity, but upright people do. So really, integrity is almost a synonym for righteousness. But more specifically, it is an internal guiding righteousness that keeps a person on the path of righteous living. So let's go ahead now and let's look at that verse that I had up here a moment ago. Let me get to it. Here we go. Proverbs 13:6. It says, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Okay, so an upright person has an internal straight edge of righteousness in his heart that keeps him on the straight path of righteous living in obedience to the straight edge of God's righteous expectations that we find in His Word. And that internal straight edge of righteousness is called integrity. It's like a compass of righteousness in your heart. It's always pointing us the right way to go. It's like a GPS of righteousness that navigates us in the path of God's will and the right way of righteousness, and it wants to redirect us whenever we turn out of the way. You know, as soon as you turn out of your route, your GPS starts talking to you, starts telling you you need to get back on the right road. And that's what integrity does in our hearts. It talks to us and it tells us, hey, this is the way that you should be going. So that's what we're talking about. We talk about righteousness. We're talking about an internally fashioned righteousness in a person's heart. But now let's talk about the method of integrity. The method of integrity. What we need to understand is that the method of integrity is from the inside out. It's from the inside out. Integrity starts in the heart and it proceeds outward to the life. So a life or a walk of integrity starts with a heart of integrity. We're not talking here about putting on a show to impress people, nothing like that. We're talking about something that is within you and it comes out in the way you live your life, the choices that you make, the things that you do, the things that you do not do. So it starts in the heart, proceeds outward into the life. But before you can get the good stuff out of your heart, you have to put some good stuff in, right? So what do we need to hide in our hearts if we want to be fully formed in personal integrity? Very simply, it's the Word of God. The Word of God. God's Word is His straight edge of righteousness, okay? Where do we find God's perfect standard of righteousness? We find it in His Word. And so if we want our internal compass, if we want our internal GPS of righteousness to function properly, if we want it to guide us reliably on that path of integrity, we must calibrate it to the straight edge of God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:17 says, the Word of God is able to make us perfect, complete, mature, fully formed, thoroughly furnished, as it says, unto all good works. So it is God's tool to grow us up in Christ into maturity. It brings the innocence and the sincerity and the uprightness and the maturity that we need into the lives of those who love His Word. So we must learn to love it. We must let it sensitize and strengthen our consciences. We must listen to its direction in every area, big and small. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 says that we should let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. How is it that the Word of God can dwell within you richly? Well, you have to take it in, okay? That's really the same thing as being filled with the Spirit. We must allow the living Word to live richly in our hearts and find its fullest expression in our lives. So if we want a heart of integrity, we must have a heart that is full of Christ and His Word. And then we can live out of the overflow. So I want you to, if you would, just hold your place in Proverbs 4. And would you turn back with me to Psalm 119? Don't lose Proverbs 4 because we're coming there in just a moment. But I want you to go back to Psalm 119. I want to read you a few verses, verses 7 through 11 of this psalm, where you can hear this beautiful expression of integrity that comes from the heart of the psalmist. This is how a person thinks. This is how a person lives who has this kind of internal righteousness that we call integrity. Look at what the psalmist said. Psalm 119 and verse 7. He said, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Notice that description there. What kind of a heart? An upright heart, a heart of integrity. He says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Where do we find those? We find those in God's Word. Keep on going. He says, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. So he says, not only do I want to learn your word, I want to keep your word. I want to obey your word. Going on, he says, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The more you pay attention to what God says in His Word, the more you take His Word in, the more it will cleanse your way. The more you will be inclined to walk on that path of righteousness rather than the perverseness of transgression and going astray from God. Go on in the verse here. He says, with my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That is an expression of a heart of integrity. He says, oh, the desire of my heart is to seek God and to not ever for one millisecond wander away from His commandments in His word. I'm hiding the word in my heart. That's how you become a person of integrity. You hide God's word in your heart. You make it a part of you. Now let's take a look at the passage here in Proverbs 4 that highlights this connection between internal integrity and external integrity, a heart of integrity and a life of integrity. Let's look at the connection in Proverbs chapter number 4. I want to begin reading at verse number 20. Verse number 20. Here's our little outline for this passage we're about to look at. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Okay, so I'm calling those verses right there a heart of integrity. What kind of a heart are we talking about here? A heart that is keeping the sayings of God. He says, incline your ear to my sayings, keep them in the midst of your heart. That's what integrity is all about. Take God's word and put it in your heart. Now, look at verse 23, a life of integrity. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is the well, the spring from which all of your life will flow. So protect it. With all you can, with everything you can, protect it. Don't let the bad stuff get in, but make sure you fill it up with the good things of God's word. Verse 24, he says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So there in those verses, 23 to 27, you have a description of somebody who is walking in personal integrity. They're doing right. They're staying away from sin. They're protecting their heart from defiling influences. They're walking in that straight path of righteousness. And where does that kind of life come from? It goes back to verses 20 to 22. We live out of the overflow of the fountain of our heart. And so the fountain of a heart, in this case, of a person who has integrity, that fountain is being filled up with the Word of God. So this is a person who treasures up the words of God in the midst of his heart. And so if we want to live a life of personal integrity, and if we wanted to be guided by integrity, we must do what verse 21 says. We must store up God's words in our heart. And as we do that, God's word will sensitize our consciences and will strengthen our characters and purify our motives so that we can walk in that straight path of righteousness. So you can see the life of integrity there. You're guarding your heart, you're guarding your eyes and your lips, and you're guiding your steps in the way that is right. Okay, so there's the biblical understanding of integrity. And folks, we need to grab a hold of this. This is very, very practical. You say, I want God's light to shine upon my path, okay? One way he's going to do that is he's going to show you from his word the truth, the light of his truth. But another way he does that is he takes his word and he puts it in you and he makes it a part of you so it begins to guide you from within. That's what it means to be a person of integrity. So let's talk about now two very practical principles of knowing God's will tonight. I have two principles of knowing God's will, and then we'll be done. Okay, so this might be a kind of a short message tonight. But I'm sure you'll forgive me for that. So this is principle number 27 in our list of principles of knowing God's will. Number 27. If you want to walk in integrity in God's will, you must take much scripture to heart. If you want to walk in integrity in God's will, you must take much scripture to heart. The good news is that the tests of knowing and doing God's will are all open book tests. Isn't that great news? You know, when you're in school, you know, and the teacher says, hey, we're having a test tomorrow. And you, oh, no. And it's going to be open book. Oh, great. That's easy, right? You know, it could be easy, but a skillful test writer can write a really hard open book test, okay? You know, cover to cover, and you're like, ooh, I don't know where to go in the book to find the answer. But what I'm saying here, folks, is the tests that God gives us of walking in his will, not only are they open book tests, God has given us the book. It's called the Bible. We have the answer key in our hands. You know, when I was an English teacher years ago, I had all the answer keys for all the tests. You know, we kept those under lock and key in the school office. Why? Because we didn't want kids getting a hold of the answer key. Guess what? God wants you to have the answer key. He's already given you the answer key. He wants you to use it. But you know what? You got to open the book. You got to open the book if you want to pass the test. God will not be able to fashion you to be like Christ or lead you into his perfect will by using scripture verses that you never read and you never learned. See, one big reason God wants us to make our spiritual, personal growth in God's word a top priority is because he does his completing work in us with his word. But you know what? He's not going to open your brain at night while you're sleeping. Now this would be nice, okay? You know, but he doesn't do this. He doesn't come to you while you're sleeping, open the hatch, and pour in all the Bible verses. Okay, that would be nice, but that's not how it works. He's not going to put 1,000 verses in there that you've never meditated on or studied. He will use the word that you know, and that's it. And so the more the word you know, and the more you take it to heart, like the psalmist did in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart. The more you take it to heart, the more fully fashioned you will become in Christ, and the more integrity you will possess in your heart and life. On the other hand, if you're not applying yourself diligently to making the word of God part of who you are, you may well miss out on God's perfect will because you'll be lacking in integrity. You'll be immature in discernment and good judgment, and you will not be in a good position to make good word-based decisions. And this is often where believers get out of God's will. When some opportunity comes along that we want to take advantage of, we say to ourselves, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I have peace about it. And then we press ahead. But you know what? If we haven't been reading our Bibles, if we haven't been spending time in prayer, if we haven't been staying away from sin, if we haven't been faithful in church, if we are living in a backslidden and carnal condition, frankly, we're not very well qualified to say whether there's anything wrong with that decision or not. And any quote-unquote peace that we have about that decision is probably just a good feeling that we have cooked up on our own out of our own desires. And that's true even if we have prayed for 5 or 10 minutes and we still have, quote-unquote, peace. That peace may just be the bliss of ignorance. So remember, as we have been learning from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we have to acknowledge God in all our ways if we want Him to direct our paths. Acknowledging God in all our ways means making Him our number one. It means pursuing Him first. As Psalm 37 says, delighting ourselves in the Lord. And if we're not doing that, we're just leaning to our own understanding. So the only peace that counts for anything in determining God's will is the assurance, really more of a certainty, that is arrived at through the internal work of God's Word and His Spirit in our hearts as we have waited upon God in fervent prayer and we have confirmed His will through specific scriptures. Then we are entitled to have some peace as we see God working in our lives. And that's integrity. But the other may just be carnality. And not very reliable guide. So that brings me to my second point about walking in the will of God. Having peace about a decision is overrated. What really counts is having integrity. You know, folks, I can tell you so many times, there are so many times where people will say to me, well, I have peace. You know what? I'm glad you have peace. But that doesn't mean you're making the right decision. A feeling of peace is not a shortcut to the spiritual process that God lays out for us. He wants us to take time with Him. We have to wait upon the Lord. He wants us to confirm His will in the Word and in prayer. He wants to form an internal righteousness within us that will be a light on our path. And feelings of peace by themselves are just subjective, and they are unreliable. Integrity is tied to the objective straight edge of the standard of righteousness that we find in God's Word. It is our internal straight edge of righteousness, and it is formed within us as we are conformed to the image of Christ. So rather than seeking a feeling about a certain decision, we should be seeking to be fully formed in integrity. We should make sure that we are looking at that decision like God would look at that decision in the full light of His Word. So having integrity is about so much more than having peace. You know, there are some decisions that could be 100% the will of God for you that you might not have peace about. You might be scared to death to take that step that you know is the will of God for your life. Did you ever think about that? Think about somebody in the Bible like Moses. You know, God said, Moses, go to Pharaoh. Did Moses have peace about that? No, he did not. He tried to get out of that every which way that he could. But as a man of integrity, he obeyed God. So having integrity is not just about having peace. In fact, it may not bring peace. It's about being changed into a different person who thinks like God thinks, who loves what God loves, who hates what God hates. And that only happens as we treasure the Word of God in our hearts. And that is the method of integrity. Now, next week, we're going to jump back into this outline. We're going to take a look at a man of integrity in the Scripture, and we'll talk about some of these other points of integrity. But let me just ask you tonight, are you following God's method for becoming a believer of great personal integrity? Remember, it's not God's fault if you don't have the help you need to make decisions of integrity in the will of God, because He's already given you the answer key. Remember? He's already given you all the answers in the book, but now you have to get that book into you. It has to become a part of you. You've got to store it up in your heart, fill up your heart with it to the overflowing so that you can walk in that path of God's will. And this takes time. For example, if I could just give a personal example. You know, all these series that I have preached on Sunday nights from the book of Proverbs since 2016. Did you realize we've been talking about Proverbs on Sunday nights since 2016? I've preached several series from Proverbs in that time. Those series that I have preached on Sunday nights from the book of Proverbs have not just been the result of study for sermon preparation. It is first and foremost the result of the fact that I have personally been reading the book of Proverbs just about every day for years. I say just about every day because I do read from Proverbs every day. The only exception is sometimes I go on and I read Ecclesiastes, and so it's either Proverbs or Ecclesiastes I'm reading in on a daily basis. There may have been a few days in there that I missed that, but that is my personal practice. And so I've spent quite a bit of time meditating on the truths of this particular book of Proverbs, which is one of God's wonderful books of wisdom that He's given to us in His Word. And meditating on Proverbs over the years has made a difference in how I think, and it's made a difference in the decisions I make. Because I have spent much time in this book, it's really hard for me to get away from the truths of Proverbs when it comes to making decisions. Why? Because they become a part of me. I'm not saying that to make myself the hero. I'm saying that to give you an example, to encourage you, to say this is what you should be doing as well. You should be pursuing the wisdom of God and His Word on a daily basis. And as you do that on a daily basis, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, it's going to change who you are from the inside to the outside. And you will be much better equipped to make decisions that are within the will of God. Why? Because the will of God will be in you. And it will inform those decisions that you're making. God's got all the wisdom that you need, but you have to dig for it. You have to search for it with all your heart. God wants you to soak up His Word like a sponge soaks up water. He wants to make you into a mature believer in Christ. And so I beg you tonight, don't think that you can short-circuit, that you can shortcut that process in your life. Please don't make big decisions based upon your own thoughts, feelings, or desires, because you'll be leaning to your own understanding. You will not be in a place for God to direct your paths. You've got to calibrate that internal straight edge to the objective standard of God's Word, and there is no substitute for personal integrity in the life of a child of God. So will you give your best attention to becoming fully fashioned by God's Word? Will you do what it takes to become a person of integrity? That's my question for you tonight. Will you do what it takes to become a person of integrity? Let's bow our heads. We'll have a time of invitation in a moment, the closing song.